Good morning, everyone. The sun is shining and life is good. We are going to start with Gentle Shepherd, Come and Lead Us. We'll start in rather meditative mood this morning. And it's number 352 in the hymnals, blue hymnals. Please stand and join me if you can.
Good morning, and welcome to our service this morning. This is the fourth Sunday of the Lenten season, and during this time of reflection and repentance, I'd invite you to be mindful of the messages given during our service and the weekly themes and the guiding questions posed to us all in our bulletins. Recall the themes for each week to date and how they remind us how we are shaped by God's works. Week one was shaped by testing. Week two, shaped by new birth. Week three, shaped by thirst. And now in week four, note that our theme's verb has changed, as today we shall reflect upon how we are called to the light. Our call to worship today is based upon Psalm 23, and we shall read it as printed in the bulletin. The Lord is our shepherd.
We shall not want.
God makes us lie down in green pastures.
We shall not want.
God leads us beside quiet waters.
We shall not want.
Restore us through your Holy Spirit. The love of Jesus Christ, and the comfort of your presence. Let us pray. Lord, the eyes of all look to you in hope, and you give them what they need. You open your hand and satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. We too turn to you again, longing to be filled, to eat the bread of life, to drink from your life-giving streams, to taste your goodness and live. May the time we spend together in your presence nourish our hearts and minds. May it strengthen our relationship with you and renew our commitment to live in this world as your faithful disciples. For you alone are God, the source and sustainer of life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, and I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." And he said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." Thus far, the reading of God's word.
Thank you for that reading, Peggy. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, as we come before you and your word, be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. After hearing this kind of a story, it's a scary thing to then stand up and start to speak. It's probably the smartest thing to hear it and go away, to say nothing, to just think about it, and to try and understand, where does this story land in my own life? If we are hearing the story well, I think we will be able to recognize that it is a cautionary tale. I heard that phrase this week, or was it the week before? A cautionary tale. And we look at this and we think, what? That's not a cautionary tale. It's a wonderful healing story. It's a story about Jesus who made a man who was blind from birth able to see. And then this man became a follower of Jesus. What better story could you get? And we all go away feeling happy and content. And I would say we've missed the meat of the sandwich. We've missed the center of the whole entire story. There's a little bit of Jesus at the beginning, there's a little bit of Jesus at the end, and there's no Jesus in the middle. There's a whole bunch of a lot of other things in the middle. And when you're making a sandwich, you know that that's the important part. Well, some will say, no, the bread you choose is very important. Okay, let's get away from sandwiches. Mel, remember your, that was last summer, we did a skit about sandwiches. So sandwiches are always going to be connected to Mel. But what I want us to recognize here, that there's a lot of meat here that we don't want to miss, okay? Sorry about the digression. Let me back up the train just a wee bit. Last week I was, along with Grace and Gilbert and Sigrid, we were in Saskatoon, we were at the ADS, and the first question that the pastors and leaders heard on Friday afternoon was, where are we going? And that's the question that churches are asking, where are we going? Where is the church going? What is going to happen to us? And so that's a question I would like for us to be holding as we consider this text. Where are we going? And an answer to that, or a possible connector to that, is wherever we're going, we have to remember who we are. We have to remember where we belong. And we have to remember what is sacred. It doesn't really answer the question, where are we going? We can't tell the future. But we do need, in these times of not knowing exactly where we and where things are going, we must remember who we are, where we belong, and what is sacred. Now, how can we connect that and that need to remember and that need to be knowing at least a direction for ourselves and our church? How do we connect that to this story and the theme for today being called to the light? And you see the picture, at least you see part of the picture. You can see the man in the middle, the person in the middle, being called to the light. And there is light in the center, but you also see there's a lot of darkness on the sides. As he's walking through a forest, there's darkness, and it's easy to get lost in a forest of darkness and to be drawn then back out of the forest into the light. And so this theme, as well as this text, is calling us to the light. Who are we? We are people who have a calling. Please don't shut your ears. Don't close your heart, because this sense of having a calling sometimes makes us very uneasy. The language is uncomfortable or maybe foreign. Nonetheless, we are people who have a calling, and not only from this scripture. See in your bulletin that today's scripture references, there are numerous. John 9 was one of them, but there is also a Samuel passage. There's a passage in Samuel, there is a psalm, which is Psalm 23, and then this John 9 passage also brings in the idea of a calling. Now, what kind of a calling? If we need to know who we are, we need to know what our calling is, and our calling is people who are called to the light. We are called to the light. The light is Christ. And that is our calling, to follow Christ, to come to God. Before I develop that, I want to help us to, you know, these little, what are they called? Something that helps our memory. Anyways, I can't remember what they're called. Mnemonics. That's it. Mnemonics. These triggers that help us to remember. Well, lately I've been teaching my little great-nephew. You don't mind if I tell a little story about my great-nephew. I'm a great-auntie. And I was reading him Dr. Seuss, and the one that I had was Hop on Pop. Hop on Pop. And you've heard the stories. I'm not going to repeat the whole story about Ted and Ned and somebody else in bed. But the memory is helped when things rhyme. And so I've written down here Hop on Pop. Oh, yes, and then I remember light and sight. Light and sight. We are called to the light because the light will give us sight. Our calling, all of us, called to the light because it will give us sight. If you forget everything else, just think, light gives sight. The option is away from the light into the night. So we can go to the light and we will receive sight, or away from the light into the night. This cautionary tale demonstrates both options, to go to the light or away from the light. Light gives sight, or away from the light will bring you to the night, to the darkness. Now, the cautionary tale warns the audience. We're the audience. We've heard this wonderful story. We have been warned of a specific danger. And again, you're saying, what? I wasn't listening. I didn't hear that. I heard about a wonderful story where someone was healed from being blind and now can see. But we, the audience, have been hearing of a specific danger, and it is going to teach us a lesson or a general moral issue. So first of all, who are we? And then we can figure out what we need to be taught, or what this story is trying to teach us with all of this great lengthy stuff in the center. So first of all, our calling, called to the light, just as Samuel was called to the light. Samuel was invited to go and anoint. Anybody? Go and anoint a king. And who was that king? Very simple. After that one. After he had anointed Saul, he was invited to go and anoint King David. Now, he didn't want to go because he said, it's dangerous because Saul will hear about this. This won't be good. And just like in our story, these people who had power were going to drive him out. There were going to be consequences if you actually follow the light. And Samuel was invited to go and anoint a new king. The anointing happens. And in Psalm 23, thou anointest my head with oil. This anointing is connected to the calling. Samuel went out to anoint David, to call him forth. You are the one. Now, Samuel needed to be aware of what the light was saying to him. The light gives sight. The light provides insight. So you are able to recognize the good from the bad. Samuel went to anoint and saw a beautiful person there, very tall. Tall is always good. Isn't that right, Ken? Tall is always good. Short is bad. I can say that because I'm short, and it's been bad my whole life. I hate being short. No one takes you as seriously. They think, oh, poor little. No. But if you're tall, you just stand there and say things and people hear you. Anyway, so that's what Samuel was experiencing. And God said, no, not this one. Don't look at the outside. Don't see things the way people see things. Don't look at things the way the world sees. In other words, you are blind. This is a kind of blindness. There's the anointing, the choosing, the calling of David. Psalm 23 says, you anoint my head with oil, claiming that calling. And in John 9, what a perfect segue right here when Jesus is about to give this man his sight. He doesn't just say, there, have your sight. He says, here, have some mud to create even more blindness. And then he says, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, and John enables us to understand what that means. It means sent. Sent. So even this blind man had a calling. Our calling in our anointing is to follow Jesus, to follow the light. And now begins the cautionary tale. Because if we too want to receive our sight, here is a lot of danger mixed in. We didn't just read the beginning and read the end. We read all of that in the middle because responding to the light carries with it a lot of danger, a lot of responsibility, a lot of intrigue, and maybe even turning away from the light. We ourselves can be the cause of danger. Look at verse 39. In responding to the light, we have to recognize that Jesus is the judge. Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment. Very uncomfortable thing for Jesus to say. Jesus did come for judgment. We are not the judge. Jesus came for judgment, so that those who do not see may see. That's part of the judgment. So that those who don't see, they are going to be given their sight. And then, cautionary tale, those who do see. What happens to them? Those who do see may become blind. This should put fear in our hearts. This should make us tremble. This should at least give us pause. Verse 41, Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, we see, your sin remains. Again, very, cautionary tale. Now that you say, we see, your sin remains. This seeing in this story is connected with sin. But at the beginning of the story, it wasn't Jesus who was judging. It was these other people. Even Jesus' disciples that said, who sinned here? This man is blind. This non-seeing is connected to sin, but Jesus changes everything. Jesus looks at things totally differently. I don't see the way the world sees, just like the Samuel story. Don't look at the outer, the way the world sees. Recognizing our condition, the blind, no sin. And yet we think, okay, if I'm blind, I must be full of sin. But if we say we see, our sin remains. Where is the way out? And here I come and offer you the role of Lent. I offer you the gift of Lent, a gift of 40 days of possibility, a time when we can just confess, I'm confused. I don't know if I see. I don't know if I'm blind. A time when we can empty our fullness. We think about drinking and eating. Okay, if we need that kind of a concrete idea, we set aside certain eating so that we'll feel hungry for some things, or we set aside some drinking so we'll feel thirsty for some things. Lent is full of possibility of setting aside these things that fill us and satisfy us and make us feel content. Not wrong in and of themselves, but the opportunity to empty ourselves, to become weaker. When you don't drink, when you don't eat, you become a little bit weakened, even if your appetite is just, your stomach is growling. You're weaker. And when we become weak, then we can receive the filling from God. But as long as we are self-satisfied, we won't seek any other kind of filling. And then we will say, I'm strong, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. Have you ever offered somebody something? Here, would you like some chocolate? No, I'm good. It's a very common phrase. We use it all the time now. And if we look at the caution throughout all of this tale, many groups of people here, the neighbors of the man born blind, the Pharisees who were the leaders in the church, the guides of the believers, those who were coming to worship, the Pharisees, and the Jews, all of these different groups of people kept coming to this person who had experienced something new in his life. He had experienced seeing Jesus the way they had never seen before. And their response to the light, you were born in sin. Accusation. Accusation. Oh, you were born in sin. You're full of sin. You are bad. Your life shows that. You can't teach us. This is verse 34. You can't teach us. We already know these things. Pride. Pride. You don't belong here. Division. They drove him out. He had seen Jesus. And they drove him out. We're not blind. Self-confidence. These are some of the things we are full of, and they are causing us to be blind to the way that God is working in our world and working in people's lives. If we don't see, hallelujah, praise God. If we're confused, it's okay. We have the offering of Lent. And Jesus offers that to us. And in fact, Jesus sees. Jesus sees us in our blindness. If you see at the beginning of the story, Jesus, as he walked along, he saw a man. Jesus sees. And Jesus sent this man. I've got something for you to do. I've got a job for you. You are important enough in my life, in the life of the kingdom, that I will give you a task to do. I trust you to do it. Here's a job. And when he heard that this man had been driven out by the Pharisees, by the Jews, by the neighbors, Jesus found him. Notice all of Jesus' actions are for that outcast one, for the one that had no gifting, no position, no status, no nothing, born blind. But Jesus found him and engaged with him. We're going to have a relationship. You understand me. Jesus connected with this person. So I would invite all of us, after looking at this cautionary tale, now to do something totally opposite of what we might expect. Let's follow the blind man. How about that? Let's follow the blind man. Oh, that's stupid. That's a blind man following a blind man. Yes, in fact, it is. If we follow the blind man, we won't go wrong. Because the blind man obeyed Jesus. Go wash. And he was sent. The blind man experienced Jesus' actions in his life and then witnessed to them. He just said, well, this is what Jesus did. I don't know what your problem is to all of these other very wise people, very well-churched people. I don't know what you're seeing, but hey, all I know is what Jesus did. And that's the story that we have. That's the only story that we have. That is who we are. We are called, and we have to remember who we are. Called to the light. Called to obey and bear witness. And in the end, simply confess and worship Jesus. Ephesians 5 reminds us how to bear fruit, what that looks like, if in fact we choose to follow the blind man.
So we are now going to sing two songs about opening our eyes. I maybe should have heard Lois's sermon before I chose the hymns. But anyway, definitely in the more classic sense of opening our eyes and be able to see the truth. So let's turn to sing the story, number 65. And we are going to share the singing of this. First, we will all sing, Open My Eyes, Lord. And verse 2 is going to be the women, Open My Ears, Lord. And verse 3 will be, Open My Heart, Lord. And that will be the men. And then there's verse 4, which is on the next page, and I will sing that. And then we all go back together to sing verse 5, which is, Open My Eyes, Lord. Okay? I'll remind you as we go along. Please stand.
Open my eyes, O Lord.
you for your good singing. We are now going to turn to number 5 in Sing the Story, and the choir is going to come up and help us sing this. So it's entitled Open My Ears, Open My Eyes.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we bring you all of our concerns. Lord, we long for light, but all is darkness, and we walk in deep shadows. We have driven back justice. Truth has stumbled in the streets, and thick darkness is over the people. We confess our sinful deeds. We confess to the Lord. As everything exposed to the light becomes visible, we walk from darkness into light. Open our eyes, Jesus, that our lives may radiate your glory. Amen.
As the choir comes up, I'll just mention the two songs we're singing. The first one is A Voice Was Heard in Ramah, and Ramah is really after Jesus was born and Mary and Joseph escaped with Jesus and all the children that were being murdered. And second stanza is in a present-day context, and each stanza ends in a unique way. The first two are the same, and the last one is different. The second song is a blessing song for all of us, for us as friends.
As rain shall wet for tree.
We will now sing two verses of our theme song, which is, Lord, Teach Us How to Pray Aright. And I'll let you stay seated, and we are going to sing verses 3 and 4. And that's in your blue hymn book, verses 3 and 4, number 350.
I'd invite the ushers to come forward for the offering. Let us pray. God of the wilderness, we give these offerings in gratitude, rejoicing in the abundance of your gifts to us. We give these offerings in faith, trusting that you will provide for our needs. We give these offerings in hope, knowing you can use them to spread your love in this world. And with these offerings, we give ourselves. May we live with generous hearts, with open hands. Amen.
Our closing hymn is number 433 in the hymn book, Go My Children. And we're going to split it into two. So we will sing verses 1 and 2, Go My Children. And then after the benediction, we will sing verse 4, I, the Lord, will bless and keep you. Please stand.
Thank you.
Please join me in the benediction. Go forth and shine, for the light has come.
And the glory of the Lord arises upon us.
Surely, goodness and love will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 1151-7309. All rights are reserved.